ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ The last nama that we saw was nama number 914, Sarvarikaraha. Sarvarikaraha means the maker of night. For those who are in bondage, meaning the samsaric world, Atman is night. So Sarvarikaha, the maker of night, is the one Vishnu whose presence, when it is not known, they are in darkness called samsara. So to those bound in samsara, Atman is dark as night. And to the wise ones, samsara is night. They said they don't know what is samsara. It doesn't exist. That's why the famous story of Narad Muni traveling with Lord Vishnu on earth once. And suddenly Vishnu said, Narad Muni asked a question, what is this samsara? Please explain to me what is samsara. No. So then Vishnu said, okay, I'm thirsty now, please get me some water. He went to get some water and he saw a beautiful girl. He liked her. Narad Muni proposed and then he got married. They produced children. They were completely lost in samsara. And then one day he was going through the pangs of samsara, so he just said, oh Narayana, please save me. Then he heard another sound from Narayana coming, saying, please give me the glass of water I requested. So which means, there is no samsara from the absolute point of view. Samsara is there only from the relative point of view. Only from the mind angle. As long as you identify yourself with a particular circle, you know, which we have put for ourselves, we suffer. If you understand that the circle is all for transactional purpose, not for any other purpose, then we don't have to be bound by it. So Sarvarikaraha means the maker of night. To those bound in samsara, Atman is night. To the wise ones, samsara is the night. Since he is the cause of these two, he is called the maker of night. In verse number 69, of chapter 2, he says, that which is night for the wise is day for us. That which is day for the wise is night for us. We have no idea about the reality, the substratum. We are in pitch darkness with reference to reality. And the wise ones who have woken up from the samsaric world, for them, they have no idea about what this samsara is all about. So therefore, the Lord is called the one who generates sarvari or night for both the enlightened and the bound ones. Next sloka. Akrurapeshalo dakshah. Dakshinakshaminambarah. Vidvat tamo vita bayah. Punyashravana kirtanah, akrurapeshalo dakshah, dakshinakshaminambarah, vidvattamo vitavayah, punyashravana kirtanah, akruraha. One who is devoid of any cruelty whatsoever, one who is without any cruelty. See, when you identify with the Atma within, then you only see oneness. So when you are seeing oneness, how can there be cruelty? When you see all different parts of your body, as you. You don't even see them as different parts of your body. How do you identify and function in the day-to-day living? You don't see, you may say my eyes, but you see your eyes as yourself. You see your nose as yourself. You see your every part of your body as yourself. How then can you be cruel to any part of the body? Not possible. So therefore, Vishnu, who is all-pervading reality, the substratum, how can he be cruel to anyone? So the so-called actions which appear to be cruel from the external angle, from the nature's point of view, is actually for the welfare of us. So this is what we need to understand. So this is how our attitude changes. The way we look at the world's happenings changes. You know, when we study this text, the way we look at, we become more purified. When we say that, it's like taking a bath at the mind level. When you read Vishnu Sahasranama, chant Vishnu Sahasranama, understanding the meaning. When we say that, it's like giving a bath in the sense, it completely changes the way you look at things. So, akruraha, one who is devoid of any cruelty whatsoever. And as you evolve spiritually and you start identifying the center, the divinity, the truth, then it's impossible that you can be cruel to any being. It's not possible at all. You can only be kind. You cannot do any harm to any being. That's why naturally you will become, you'll be practicing ahimsa. The natural practice that will be there in you would be ahimsa. It's not even a value for you anymore. You don't take it up as a value and try to follow. No. Naturally, you will be harmless. You cannot be cruel. How can you be harmful to yourself? It's impossible. You cannot be angry with anyone. You know? So therefore, you will be kind. The way you look at people would be with that kindness. You will be forgiving. You will not be taking revenge. It is only to, if at all you look at it from the total and do the action. Personally, there is no cruelty towards any being. But even the so-called activities that is done is from the total angle, and to get that small circle aligned with the big circle. Then an egoistic person who is a small circle doesn't want to align with the big circle. It's a problem for himself and to the world. So sometimes you might have to be cruel only to be kind, like Shakespeare says. But that cruelty is also for the sake of being kind. Therefore, as you evolve spiritually, it is impossible to be cruel to any being. Not just to your species. To any being for that matter. Then, peshalaha. Handsome. See, handsome is not just a physical trait. Physical quality, physical beauty. You become handsome because your actions are selfless, unselfish. In thought, word and deed, you know, a person with awareness will be beautiful. A person with awareness can never harm anyone physically or verbally or mentally. Cannot think of any ill feeling towards any beings at all levels. Physical, mental or at the speech level. Thought, word and deed. That is why he is called as handsome. No? There is no kalmisham. There is no dirt. And all the impurities are removed. What is there is only purity. So that's why the nama of Vishnu is Peshala. Peshala means one who is absolutely handsome. Because all the impurities are gone. One who is handsome in regards to his actions, mind, word and body. In thought, word and deed, when you are clean, you are handsome. Because there is nothing to sully you. There is nothing to poison that is removed. The pettiness is gone. But the magnanimity is there in your conduct. So, Lord Vishnu is called handsome. Dakshaha. Daksha means skill. skillful, one who has the skillfulness in everything that he does. See, when you identify with any being, you are not functioning in the world with a profit motive. Profit can be a byproduct. So it's not to get any personal benefit that you do anything. So you have complete bhakti, so you become a daksha. You know? So, when you talk about daksha, Adi Shankara says, immensity, strength and quick execution are natural to the Supreme Being. These three qualities. Immensity, strength and quick execution are the natural qualities of a Supreme Being. You are completely strong because you don't have any personal desire. It's the desire that makes you weak. And then with full focus, immensely you concentrate and then execute the action with zero ego, identifying with the other species. So automatically your actions will be skillful. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Skill in action is yoga. Skill in action is yoga in the sense, when there is devotion, you will be skillful. You are doing it, like for example, if you are selling a particular product, you put yourself in the hands, in the feet of a customer, and you say, will I buy this product for this cost? So how should that product be if I am going to sell it at this cost? So you'll be fully giving the best quality product, skillful, because of identification. It's because of that identification, the higher you become skillful. There is no ego. It's the ego that makes you, takes away your efficiency, productivity and everything. So swiftly, quickly, there is not much of confusion. People taking decisions. It take like, I don't know how long it take to decide. There are people taking janmas to decide. Quickly take a decision. And that comes, see what happens is, either you are impulsive. You, in this world, we see people who are impulsive. In the name of quick decisions, they do everything impulsively. Without thinking. But there are people who are so confused because of so many desires. Everything you want, you're not able to decide. And there's a choice between what you like and what you don't like. Naturally, everybody decides with reference to what they like. But you need to take decision as to what is right for you, not what is liked by you, isn't it? Then the difficulty comes. Which one to choose? So therefore, one who is not able to take quick decisions, lack of clarity is there in all of us because of too many desires pertaining to the world. In the case of Vishnu, there is no samsara, there is no desire, there is nothing. So quick decision. Dakshinaha. Dakshinaha is the next nama. Very interesting. And nama dakshinaha, which means the efficient person. The word is also means the same as the above nama. The book that I gave you says it's the same as the above nama. Dakshinaha, skillful, efficient. The mind is under the control of the intellect. As a result, you will be efficient. There is clarity. There is no demands from the mind. There is neither selfishness nor ego. There is neither egocentric desires nor egoistic attitude. Therefore, you are able to function efficiently. And then the next one is Kshaminam Varaha. Kshaminam Varaha means the chief among those that forbear. The chief among, the greatest among the patient ones, because he is more patient than all yogis noted for patience. See, patience is the greatest of all virtue. Patience is the greatest of all virtue. And then you say that he is extremely patient. Think about the opposite. What is it? Being anxious. Not able to wait. This is because you don't understand how the whole system functions. You know, in nature, nothing happens according to our mind's urgency. Everything happens at the right time as it should happen. So when I understand this, then I will be patient. Peacock will open up its feather and dance, not when I want it. Understand? So, when I understand the totality, then I will develop the ability to be patient. So Vishnu understands that everything happens according to the law of karma. So he will patiently wait. That's why when even Lord Vishnu, as per the epics, he takes certain avatars like Rama, Krishna, etc. He waits. Because everything will happen according to karma, not according to your urgency of the mind. When we understand this, we'll be patient. We'll execute the action swiftly, but we'll wait for the results to happen the due course. The ability to hold on, be patient. Otherwise, you go with the mind and the mind becomes anxious. It's anxious of the future, worried about the past. This is a trait of the mind. When the buddhi is filled with the pure knowledge, then the buddhi knows how to wait. Understands that the right time things will happen. Why be in a hurry? Why be in a hurry? It's the mind that runs and will be in the hurry. But the awareness is never in a hurry. Viditatma. That's another beautiful nama. Viditatma. Viditatma means the wisest person who knows that the waking, dream and deep sleep states of consciousness are all illusion, is the wisest. He knows the truth. A wise person never gets involved. So, he says in the book that I gave you, he who has got the unsurpassable and all-inclusive knowledge of everything. In the sense, he knows the essence that everything is nothing but pure consciousness. So therefore, his waking dream and deep sleep states, the real essence he knows. And he is called as Viditatma. Sorry, Vidvatatma. Vidvat Atmaha means one who is wisest. So wisest he alone and no other always possesses the most wonderful knowledge by which he knows everything. So it's called, it's not Vidvat Atma, sorry, it is Vidvat Tamaha. Vidvat Tamaha. Of Uttamaha of the wise people. That's what Vidvatamaha means. One who is the supreme of the wise. Means the wisest. Who is the wisest? One who knows that this whole world is an illusion and doesn't get involved. Is the wisest. Otherwise we get involved in everything. Good, bad and ugly. In everything we get involved. We quickly get involved in. You may have a lot of reasons for you to get involved. But if you really sit down and think, even those reasons are unreasonable. Because in the illusion, what reasons are you going to find? He did this, she did that. Don't get involved. Be wise. always stay apart. Don't get dragged into it. That's one good thing that will happen as you gain this knowledge. You will develop that ability to be a witness. The more the knowledge goes in, the more you become a witness. Even if you are involved, you will quickly get out. Vita bhayaha, one who is completely free from any bhaya, especially the fear of samsara also. He has no fear pertaining to transmigratory, like what will happen when I die, I will be reborn. First of all, if I am born only, I will have to be reborn. So rebirth is only for the person who thinks he is born. A person who gains the knowledge and understands that there is no birth only for me. There is a question of rebirth. When you take this janma to be real, then you have to worry about the next janma. When there is very janma itself is stupidity. There is no janma, janma, nothing. For one who being eternally free and the Lord of all, free from the fear of transmigratory life. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatarishan. Adi Shankara says in the Bhajagovindam verse 21, beautifully. Again birth, again death. Again birth, again death. Constantly being born, constantly dying. So therefore, he says, absolutely free of any bhaya. Vita bhaya. Bhaya means fear. Vita bhaya means free from bhaya. Free from any fear. The worst form of fear is death. Oh, I'll die. No, I don't want to be born in poverty. I want to be born again in opulence. I hope all these things will be there with me. The fear. The fear comes because of attachment. Fear comes because of attachment, and attachment comes because of ignorance. Now, when you are ignorant of the true nature, you assume a false personality and you get attached to that personality and everything that is associated with that personality. Therefore, that fear is there. And once that knowledge comes, attachment goes. When attachment goes, there is no bias. Thiruvalluvar in Thirukkural, beautifully in Tamil, he says, Yavenin, Yavenin, Ningiyan, Nodal, Adanin, Adanin, Ila. From whatever you are detached, from that, there is no fear. So fear comes, fear of attachment. Not because you have possessions. Please remember this. Possessions doesn't create fear. Possessiveness creates fear. That's why the Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji has given a nice story. A businessman has won a lottery or so and he's got a lot of money, cash. You know? So he's carrying that cash to his city. He had to go by an overnight train. A thief comes to know that he's got a lot of cash and he's going by this train. So he also books himself in the same compartment. And he is coming to that compartment to steal that money. So this businessman is sitting in the same compartment and the thief is saying, somehow I must get it tonight and leave this train. So the thief goes to the restroom and comes, and then after that the businessman goes. When the businessman goes to the restroom, the thief is searching for the money in all his bags, the businessman's bags. Nowhere he could find the money. All night he was so disturbed. The next day morning, when they were about to get out, he asked the businessman, where did you keep the money? I am a thief. I came to steal your money only. He said, I know that. That's why I kept the money under your pillow. And he said, take your pillow. And he took his money and left. This is only talking about detachment. When you are detached, when you are non-possessive, there is no fear. Fear comes when you are possessive. This is the problem. All our relationships also we spoil through possessiveness. We are possessive with reference to our children and we spoil the relationship with our children. When you have too much attached and too possessive, either they will become a vegetable or they will become a rebel. In many houses I have seen, they have two kids. One is a rebel, one is a passive vegetable. It's all because of your possessiveness and attachment. Extreme attachment. Everything you decide for them out of your possessiveness. So one fellow says, okay, you want to decide everything for me, you keep deciding. I'll take an easy way route and he becomes a vegetable, he or she. The other one becomes a rebel. Just leave me alone. I don't want to be with you. You're tying me, you're binding me. I don't want to continue this lifestyle. So, Vita Bhayaha. There is no attachment to the world which is created by the Maya, by Ishvara. Only out of ignorance we get attached. When we have knowledge, we will not be attached. A wise person can never be attached. The ignorant person will be attached. Therefore, there is fear. So Vishnu has no fear whatsoever because he is detached completely from the world created by the Maya. So where is the question of fear of transmigratory life and all that? Nothing of the sort. When you are very clear that very birth is not there, this itself is fake. Where is the question of death? Say, I said this many times. We fear death. The wise person, if at all, he fears life. Fears life in the sense, falling into samsara, to a trap, he fears. But I've said it from a practical point of view, for example. Taking a loan, you know, it's a trap. So he thinks twice, thrice, 10 times before falling into any trap. What we fear, he doesn't fear at all. We don't fear starting up a new samsara. A wise person doesn't want to get into any new samsara. He wants to get rid of the samsara that is existing. Why would he want to start a new samsara? The new samsara you start when you are unwise. So, Gita Bhayaha. Punya Shravana Kirtana. The next Nama. Nama number 922. Punya Shravana Kirtana. If you listen to his names, if you hear, listen and recite his name, it will lead you to punya. It will lead you to punya in the sense, it will give you, it will cleanse you. It will purify you. That's what it means. One to hear about whom and to sing of whom is meritorious. Meaning, you will get a lot of punya. Shravana Kirtana. Shravana means listening, hearing. Kirtana means singing, reciting, chanting. It purifies you. When you're constantly thinking about the world, it develops a lot of desire and binds you. Create a lot of impurity. But instead of the world's nama, you take the nama of the Lord. So when you dwell upon it, when you say Shravana Kirtana, when you dwell upon it again and again and again, you become pure. Punya Shravana Kirtana. You become free of all the vasanas. That's what it means. Thereafter, you don't create fresh vasanas also. You destroy the existing vasanas as well. Next. Next shloka. Uttarano duskritiha. Punyodush swapna nasanaha. Viraharakshana santaha. Jivanaparyavastitaha. Uttarano duskritiha. Punyodushwapnanashanaha. Viraharakshana santaha. Jivanaparyavastitaha. Uttaranaha. Paranaha means the savior. One who saves us from the world of samsara. He is the boat that takes us from the shore of mortality to the shore of immortality. One who takes beings over to the other shore of the ocean of samsara. From the, you know, we are all lost in this samsaric world of likes and dislikes. So the Lord, when you hold on to the Lord, He nicely takes you. He is like that boat that takes you to the other shore. This side of the shore is shore of mortality. The other side is the shore of immortality. From the changing, He takes us to the changeless substrate. He saves us from samsara. He saves us from all possible problems. Then, duskritiha. One who faces the evil effects of evil actions. The destroyer of evil deeds. See, once you turn your attention towards the higher, you slowly become the higher. So, that's why they say if you keep reading Ramayana or Bhagavata, Ramayana talks about the story of Lord Rama and Sita. Bhagavata talks about the story of Sri Krishna. So there are traditions in our country where every year that is Bhagavata Saptaham is going on. People for 7 continuous days they listen to the story of Sri Krishna. There are people lecturing on Ramayana. So, why do we study Bhagavata, Ramayana, etc.? As we dwell upon those qualities, we develop those qualities in us. So, duskritiha. When you develop those qualities, is it possible to do any evil action? Not possible at all. Impossible. In the Oliver Goldsmith's poem, Village Preacher, he says, the village preacher's character was such that fools who came to scoff remained to pray his nature, his demeanor, his character, his inner personality was so good. The village preachers, who he's talking about, a person of such caliber, is a realized soul, self-realized person, whom he calls a village preacher. He says, people who came to scoff remain to pray. That is the nature. So, duskritiha, it completely removes all evil tendencies from the person. Once you are exposed to this higher knowledge, thereafter it's impossible for you to do any evil deed. See, the problem with the world is they go by actions. It's not just the action, it is the intention behind the action. So there are people who are asking, why is this all these gods and goddesses all the time having weapons? There is so much of violence. God should be calm, composed. They don't understand what they are talking about. It's not that you are incapable of taking actions, even if it is sometimes very severe. But you do that with the welfare of the total, with zero personal intention whatsoever. So hence he says, Duskritiha, one who oppresses the evil effects of evil actions, or one who destroys those who perform evil. When he says he will destroy those who perform evil, he will remove that evil tendency from them. You know, by giving them another opportunity. See, even when they talk about the cycle of birth and death, they say if you have certain qualities and you're too much involved in those qualities, theoretically there is a possibility that in the next janma you might be born as an animal. But from one angle it looks like it's devolution, falling down to the level of an animal. But from another angle when you look at it, it gives you an opportunity to exhaust those tendencies. You know, it gives you an opportunity to exhaust those tendencies and get back. So therefore, he only destroys the evil tendencies. That is his idea. He wants to remove the evil tendencies and take him with you. Take you with him. That's the idea. Then punya. One who bestows holiness on those who remember and adore him. Holiness means he uplifts them. That's what it means. Punyaha, the holy. He makes holy those who remember him. Uplifts you. He purifies you. So he enables everyone to be righteous through the teachings in the shape of Shruti and Smriti. The more and more you give yourself to the study and reflection of the Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita, etc., you become more and more purified. You'll be calm, you'll be more patient, you will not be anxious, you cannot have any cruelty to any beings. You'll have more and more sattva shining through you. So he says, punyaha, dushvapna nasanaha, dispeller of bad dreams. Basically, dispeller of dreams. What do you mean by bad dreams? First of all, dispeller of dreams in the sense, from the spiritual angle, from the philosophical angle, even this waking state is a big dream. It destroys all the samsara, including this attachment to this waking dream and deep sleep state. Unnecessarily, you know, it takes away all your negativities from you. Chitta chora eshoda ke baan. It takes away all the negativities from us. Chitta chora means it steals the thoughts, negative tendencies from us. Viraha, one who frees jivas from the bondage and thus saves them from the various transmigratory paths and bestowing liberation upon them. He helps us giving the right direction in life. A person who chants Vishnu Sahasranama gets clarity, gets the right direction. Mind doesn't go into unnecessary negativities. Shall I do this? Somebody is giving things free. Shall I grab it? Anything free, we want to just grab it. Simply. Or we want to take away somebody else's possession. Why should you take away somebody else's possession? You should only be interested in the possessions that you have earned from your efforts. That which has come to you through your right efforts. Being, you know, covetous of somebody else's wealth. These kind of things will get away from the system. Greed, jealousy, anger, fear, all this will go away. Rakshanaha. So when all this is gone, you get protected. Rakshana means one who gets protected. Protects the whole three worlds. He, by removing the rajas and tamas, he protects sattvayanas. Makes us more and more pure and good. Santaha. Those who adopt the very virtuous path are called good men. Santaha means good people. All good people are equal to Vishnu. A good. A good does not mean passive good. Good means one who gives himself or herself to dharma all the time. Jivanaha, the sustainer of life. The one who is the main reason for the life to be there is the prana of the prana. He is the one who gives prana to the very prana which sustains that life. Hence he is called as Jivanaha. Then Paryavastitaha. Paryavastitaha means one who remains pervading everywhere in this universe. He who exists pervading the whole universe. This entire universe is pervaded by the fruit. Nothing else other than the fruit. Next. Anantarupo Anantashri. Anantarupo Anantashri. Hitamanyupayapaha. Chaturasro Kabiratmaha. Chaturasro Gabiratmaha. Vidishovyadishodishaha. Anantarupo Anantashri. Hitamanyupayapaha. Chaturasro Gabiratmaha. Vidishovyadishodishaha. Dishaha. Ananta Rupaha. And he is the one who's become this world. All the forms in this world is his form only. Ananta Rupa. The one real Brahman appears in various forms. He or she or it, whatever way you want to address Brahman, you can address. That is formless. But the formless reality expresses through various forms. So Ananta Rupa. All Rupas are his Rupa only. Ananta Rupa. Innumerable forms. He pervades this universe through innumerable forms. And then Anantashri, one whose glory is infinite. In fact, all the glories in the world belongs to him. For example, any glory a Shishya gets actually belongs to the Guru. Any glory a child gets belongs to the parents. So like that, any glory that is there in anyone, it is actually the glory of the Lord. The Lord reflected through the personality. Because of which you are able to achieve whatever you can achieve. See, if I am talking today, it is because of the knowledge given to me by my Guru. The support I have taken from my parents. So many people have contributed for it. To claim it as myself is the height of stupidity and arrogance. So ultimately when you see the real support of all beings at all times is Brahman, the Atman, the reality. That being the case, Atman only the glory goes to. Glory belongs to the Atman, not to us. So we should understand that. When we submit ourselves in the hands of the divinity, the divinity functions through us. When we develop the ego, the moment we develop ego, we destroy our actions. The glory eludes our grasp. We experience any glory in the world only to the extent we allow the self to reflect through us. So Anantashri, Chittamanyahu, one who has overcome anger. Jitamanyahu, conqueror of anger. Anger comes when the desire is interrupted. And there is no desire, there is a question of anger. Isn't it? There is no question of anger when desire itself is removed. Bhayapahaha. Again, fearless. Once you take abhayam in Vishnu, there is no bhaya. Abhayam means once you surrender. Once you surrender to the higher, with reference to the lower, there is no bhaya. Once you understand how the law of karma functions, there is no fear. Fear comes when you do not understand, you do not have this knowledge. Bhaya paha. It removes the bhaya by giving the right knowledge. See, what is the difference between a spiritual person and a non-spiritual person? The non-spiritual person extricates himself away from the total. Spiritual person is unites with the total. So when you unite with the total, there is tremendous strength. One tree doesn't cause fear, but thousands of trees planted next to each other creates fears. When you walk through the jungle, you are scared. So ego is extricating, you know. So there is power in unity. There is fear in loneliness. So the moment you identify with the Atma, you start identifying with all beings. Then there is no samsara, nothing to fear. Chaturashtraha. Chaturashtraha means like a spire. Yeah? He gives results to every being according to their actions. You get what you deserve, not what you desire. So he is always just. One who is just. One who is dharmic. You may think that it's all, you know, nothing is happening correctly here. But in the God's accounts, everything happens perfectly. So, when you understand this nama, chaturashtraha, then this thought comes sometimes in, I've been dealt with unjustly. It cannot happen with God. If God has made you go through something, you must deserve it. Otherwise it will not continue. It's your mind that is refusing to see it that way. You know, you have used so much electricity, so the electricity bill has come like that. Otherwise not possible. So therefore, it's like that, you know. You've done something, you may not be aware. As if you are taking account every day how much electricity you are consuming. Suddenly when you see it, oh my God, so much I have to pay. That is because every day you are consuming happily. So therefore, chaturashtra means he is very, very just. From our angle it may look like he is being very unkind. Oh, the child is so small and father is died. How is he just? We don't see the big picture, so we don't know. We only see the small picture. That's why, you know. We don't know. Maybe the father would have been a very pampering fellow. And if the boy was growing up in his father's protection, he could have become a spoiled sport. But on the contrary, when the father is dying, that doesn't mean we wish that he died. What it means, you don't know. He might have become more strong, more capable of facing the world. So from what angle are we saying it's good and bad? Chaturashtraha means he bestows on jivas the fruits of their karma justly, according to their karma. He doesn't do anything out of syllabus. There's no question of out of syllabus question in Lord's dictionary. Everything is as per the syllabus. You've done something, definitely. That's why you deserve this. You know? You're born to a particular set of parents because your vasanas decides that. Your vasanas demands that. Otherwise, you won't be born in that particular environment, a particular womb, the particular parent, the family. You have that. So anything that we go through, because we have done something for it. Good, bad and ugly. So when I understand this, then I will not think about these things as happening unjustly. So also, we do action as a doer. And when we accept the, when you are supposed to accept the result as an enjoyer, you say, yeah, I didn't do this. You are the one who did it. Now you are saying, I didn't do it. What do you mean I didn't do it? You're not even aware. So such actions come back and hit you powerfully. That time you say, oh no, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. Time has passed. So therefore he says, Chaturashtra, Gabiratma, one whose nature is unfathomable. It's not possible to understand Brahman. One whose nature is unfathomable, immeasurable. It's beyond the mind and intellect. It's infinite. That's what it means. Gabiratma means it's infinite. It's not possible to be measured by any measuring scale. It cannot be measured with your mind, cannot be measured with your intellect. It is beyond all our conception. Gabiratma, whose nature is unfathomable. It may appear as if he is being cruel, but he is doing good for us. Therefore, to understand nature, to understand the truth, you need to be a little bit objective. Vidishaha, one who distributes various fruits of actions to persons, differing in their forms according to their competence, again the same meaning. He gives the bestower of the diverse fruits. Sometimes he is giving the good one, sometimes he is giving the negative experience. All this is because you deserve. All this is to punish us only. Not for any other reason. Vidhi shaha. As per the rule, as per the law. Vidhi. Vidhi means law. He governs this universe through various laws. He is Vidhi shaha. And then he says Vyadhi shaha. One who gives to Indra and other deities directions according to their various functions. He gives us the result. And he is the one who commands Indras and other devatas. And through them he controls and governs this universe. So the results we get from the devas are directed by the infinity, truth, according to our karma. And Vyadhi Shaha means one who governs the various forces in the world, like Indra, Varuna, Vayu, etc. So therefore he says, other deities, Indra and other deities, are directed according to their varied functions. The mind should be doing this, should be feeling, intellect should be thinking. Each and every equipment in the body is made to function according to its role by the intellect. He who carries out diverse commands of Indra, one who gives to Indra and other deities directions according to their varied functions. There is no point giving wrong directions. Each one should get the right direction according to their nature. Dishaha, 948 Nama, Dishaha, the giver of all the results of actions through the Vedas. See, when you say Vedas, here it refers to the beginning portion of the Vedas. The beginning portion of the Vedas is Mantra, Brahmana and Aranyaka. Mantra, Brahmana, Aranyaka all belong to the ritualistic portion. So by studying those Vedas and you do those rituals, then you will reap those meritorious deeds assigned to those particular rituals. That's what it means. Of all the results of actions through the Vedas, ritualistic actions of different beings. In the sense, you want wealth, there are certain rituals. You want children, there are certain rituals. You want power, there are certain rituals. So when you, all these are given in the Veda Purva Bhag, not in the Vedanta Bhag. Vedanta Bhag is philosophy. Veda Purva Bhag is ritualistic portion. So in the ritualistic portion, it talks about how to fulfill your desires through rituals, because to some extent when your mind is fulfilled, you relax and then there's a possibility of you getting back to the philosophical portion. Therefore, these rituals are talked about. So when you perform those rituals to various beings, to various powers, devas, as given in the Vedas, as explained in the Vedas, then he gives you the result according to your contribution. You can cheat the local supervisor, but you cannot cheat the ultimate supervisor. The ultimate supervisor knows what you did, what you did not do. You will be punished or rewarded for both your commissions and omissions. When you do the right thing at the right time, you get certain benefits. When you don't do the wrong thing, even though there is a lot of confusion atmosphere and you don't do it, you will be benefited. But if you do it, then you will be highly punished. Highly punished in the sense, you will go through situations where you will have to reflect necessarily and come out of such a behavior. So one who in the form of Vedas bestows the fruits according to the ritualistic actions on different beings. So you get what you deserve, not what you desire. In this world, everyone gets distributed by Vishnu, distributed by their ultimate truth, according to their nature, according to their contribution. You think we can contribute less and take major chunk? Not possible. You may be taking it now, but somewhere you will give it. You cannot take even little more. In fact, in Tamil they say Sivan Sottu Kulanasam. Sivan Sottu Kulanasam means Shiva, you know Shiva, right? Shiva's wealth, if you take away Kulanasam, your Kula will be destroyed. Not just you, your entire Kula will be destroyed. Will be born again in some kind of animalistic embodiment or something else. Therefore, you give the right direction, fulfills all your desires, and you function according to dharma. That is Dishaha, one of his direction. So we'll conclude here with this Nama Disha, 940. So, as discussed, Sadhana, I think we can have the class mid-July, once everybody is back. So let's conclude now.
Hari Om Guruji.
Yes. Hari Om Guruji.
Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriya Irva Buddhyatmana Va
प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि अद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।